Hello, podcasters. Welcome to what I think is a very exciting episode of Let's Talk Art with Brooke. Why is it exciting? First of all, I had a chance to talk with some really interesting people at the Beckler Museum of Modern Art, right here in my hometown of Charlotte, North Carolina. Secondly, Let's Talk Art with Brooke has a new sponsor to help bring the podcast to you. Our new sponsor is McGinn's Roxborough Maple Irish Whiskey. I've seen this brand from the beginning, and I'm honored to play a small part in it. My boyfriend came to me and said, "Hey, I want to start this whiskey brand. Want to join forces?" I laughed because, well, I don't even drink. I thought, what could I possibly contribute? But he was so enthusiastic about it. And well, who doesn't like maple? He told me this great story behind it. His family had the longest running distillery in Galway in the 1800s. He had this idea to reintroduce the whiskey with just a hint of maple to it. I've witnessed many tastings. The response has been pretty uniform. Most are dubious at first because it's whiskey. They sort of tentatively take a sip, bracing themselves for the burn. Then they get a look of pleasant surprise, which is almost always followed with, "Now that's smooth." It's been a really wild ride for me. McGinn's Roxborough is not on shelves yet, but you can go to the website, roxboroughwhiskey.com. That's R-O-X-B-O-R-O-U-G-H, and whiskey is W-H-I-S-K-E-Y. It's all one word. The website tells the story behind the whiskey, and we'll have merchandise available on the site soon. You can also give McGinn's Roxborough a like on Facebook. Now on to my interview with the Beckler. Hi, podcasters. This is Brooke with Let's Talk Art. Today I'm talking art with Michael Gates, Dr. Keith Cradle, and Christopher Lawing of the Beckler Museum of Modern Art. I'm actually on site at the Beckler in Charlotte, North Carolina. We're talking about their jail initiative program where they actually bring art to the prisoners. Enjoy! This episode was brought to you by McGinn's Roxborough Maple Irish Whiskey. Cool. So, I wanted you guys to all introduce yourselves, and tell a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, my name's Michael. I'm the Associate Director of Education here at the Beckler, and I pretty much oversee all of our community programs, including the Jail Arts Initiative.
Cool.
Dr. Keith Cradle. I work for the Mecklenburg County Sheriff's Office. I'm the Adolescent Program Manager, responsible for staff that looks at and deals with all the youthful offenders here in Mecklenburg County. So all programming that we do, I'm responsible for that. For reentry services, education, mental health, you name it, we do it.
So you work for the jail?
Yes.
Cool.
And I'm Christopher Lawing. I'm the Executive Vice President for the Beckler. And anything that has to do with audience as a very broad term is under my scope. So school and community programs, public programs, gallery programs, rental events, front desk, some membership, just kind of a little bit of everything.
Okay. And I was curious, and forgive me if I'm very ignorant about any of this. How did this whole thing start, the jail initiative start? How did the from concept to execution, I guess?
I'll take that, actually. It was in 2012 that I went to a conference for the National Arts Education Association in Fort Worth, Texas. And for several days, I attended many different workshops about community and school programs from various museums. And I went to this one workshop delivered by an artist who had done work in his county's jail system as part of his master's degree in arts and education. So I sat through his presentation. I got this wild idea that we could do something like that here at the Beckler because we, as an institution, try to create programming that is not duplicated by other people in the area and represents the widest possible audience that we can reach. So I think of community with a very big C for community.
Right.
And who better to reach out to than those that, you know, are unfortunately incarcerated because they can't come to the museum and experience our programs and our exhibitions.
Exactly.
So I talked with the presenter afterwards. We kept in contact for about a year. I floated several ideas past him, and we began this program by contacting Keith and several other people through the jail system to pilot a few initiatives to see how it would go, what we would do, how we would do it. And now we are in our sixth year, and between the youthful offenders and the adults, we offer 10 one-week residencies per year in the jail system.
Now, what exactly does that mean? Because I saw that on the website, and I was curious about what that I wanted to ask about.
Well, I'll hand that to Michael, because she's the one who would receive.
So you're, tell me exactly which part you're curious about. Just what does the residency entail?
What is a residency?
Great question. Yeah. So basically, we just use the term residency sort of like a course.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of standing for an art class. Sometimes our residencies, for example, in schools, include other things such as paid for tours to the museum and things like that. But in this case, it's just a 10-hour course, so 5 days and then 2 hours a day.
Cool. And that's for the prisoners or for the people, the curators going to the...
So we have trained educators, teaching artists, that go into Jail North and Jail Central, and we teach youthful offenders, Spanish-speaking adults, reentry adults in Spanish and English, males and females.
Wow.
But generally, we work with the male population because it's much larger.
Right, right.
So 2 hours a day over a five-day period, there are certain things that happen each day, and the end of that week culminates with a finished product and or a writing sample that the inmates have worked on that week. And then we take these artwork and these writings back to the museum, and we display them downstairs in the lobby in our outreach gallery.
Nice. So you does whoever's teaching it bring the materials with them, and they can...
We bring all the art materials into the system, and then we leave with them that same day.
Cool, cool.
Actually, we leave some of the stuff.
Oh,
you
leave some of the
stuff.
Okay,
we used to get it out.
Nice. Well, fortunately, because we have to take the time. So if we want to bring in a new item, and luckily we've been doing this for so long that, as Keith mentioned, we do have quite a few supplies there.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, we have to kind of bring it in ahead of time. And Keith and I need to meet in the front, and he's got to take it in. So everything needs to be pre-approved.
Right, right.
So if we want a new item, it's a little bit more difficult.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah, my church used to do like a prison ministry, so I went with them a few times, and I'm familiar with the kind of what all it entails to actually go to visit someone. And I was really, when I did it, I was really young, but I was really impressed with just, I didn't know what to expect when I was, it was my first time in the jail, and I was like, what's going to happen? And they're normal people. They're just like you and me. And it's just like, if the circumstances were reversed, who's to say that I wouldn't, it wouldn't be me. And so that's kind of what I'm just very interested I really like this. I think this is a great.
Well, that's very true. And programs like this help remove some of the mystique or some of the misconceptions about who is in the jail system and why that they're there.
Right.
And you're right. They are people just like anybody else. Circumstances were not as kind.
Right.
And, they're receiving some good benefit through this program while they're spending time in the system.
Right. Right. And that was another thing. They, the ladies that we were with, their biggest complaint was that they were just bored all the time. And I was just like, I remember thinking then there must be some way to and I'm sure there were programs then, but I just didn't know about them. I didn't investigate them. But it was just like, what a great opportunity to have all this time on your hands and to be able to learn something. I'm sure they wouldn't see it that way,
Well, many of them do. For us, you just happen to live in Mecklenburg County, so it's one of the largest counties. We have the budget and the access to larger areas of programming. And so, you know, through the sheriff's office, you know, we kind of mandate a lot of stuff, especially for our youth. Because we understand that for a lot of these kids, you know, they're underserved. They're coming from an environment where success, esteem, those things are pretty low. And you, if you're asking them to do things, then normally you're going to get a no.
Right.
So you have to kind of mandate some things to get them in that mode of understanding what programs can do for them. And programs like this in particular, which teach different sets of skills.
Mm-hmm.
And what you want them to understand is that as they walk away from the program, that they do finish, you know, a project that they start,
mm-hmm.
which creates a pathway to success, to feeling good about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Larger programs that involve education, so you can start getting a GED or a high school diploma.
Right.
And whether you're 16 or 61, you know, you need to have that feeling
yeah.
of success and impartation that people care about you. And I think when you look at this museum, you look at the programs that we do, which are very, you know, non-traditional in a sense, and you're finding
right.
gaps in the community to serve, you have that opportunity to give people investment in the larger community. And that's where I believe we do the best job at that.
Yeah, yeah. And that was another question I had. I was thinking, I was like, is this unique to Charlotte, Mecklenburg? Is this program so no other jail in the country or the world has a program like this?
Certainly within Charlotte, Mecklenburg,
mm-hmm.
this is the only program, and a very similar program that I use as a benchmark is a program in California,
mm-hmm.
and it's called the Prison Arts Program,
mm-hmm.
and whereas we work in the jail system, the organization in California works through the prison system, and this has been going on for roughly 2 decades or more.
Mm-hmm.
So I use them and their findings as benchmarks for our program, but I'm unaware of any sort of jail arts program in the Southeast.
Mm-hmm.
There are places that work with the prison population because you can have experiences and evaluation over time,
mm-hmm.
whereas jail population is a little more transient. Sometimes they're there for a few days to a few weeks to a few months. There's, you know, not the, in certain cases, multiple years of incarceration.
Right.
So we have to work very quickly and be able to ascertain as much as we can in order to continue to follow the program.
Right, right.
And I think you might be referring to the Prison Arts Coalition. If you're not, either way, the Prison Arts Coalition is a really good website that kind of shows what is going on in the United States.
Cool.
It covers a lot of different programs. So they are out there, but
yeah.
I think we're the only one in Charlotte.
You only have one jail in Charlotte.
Exactly. Luckily, we have the art class in Charlotte.
But I think, you know, if we looked around North Carolina, you're looking at, you know, small rural counties, and you get outside of Mecklenburg and Wake and some of the larger ones, you don't have that kind of bandwidth to do programs like this, where you don't have institutions that are in play in those cities
right.
to do things like this. So I think, you know, it's kind of one of those things that you just happen to live in Mecklenburg County,
right.
and you have the access to all these great resources that can allow this kind of program. I'm quite sure people who live in other places would love to do it.
Right.
You just don't have,
a
museum that's sitting right there. That's
right.
Like, we have the vision to implement something like that.
Right, right. And I was wondering, what was the reception when you came to your boss or whoever's in charge, whoever you needed to go to make this happen? Like, what did they say? What was their response?
Well, very early on, even before the museum opened to the public, the president and a few staff members were hired to kind of formulate the beginnings of the museum
mm-hmm.
back in 2008 and 2009. And our president and CEO, John Boyer, comes from an education background as a previous professor, and I also come from an education background. So having a CEO that understands the wealth and the ability and the need that education can bring
mm-hmm.
to the public was very helpful to me in crafting certainly traditional programs that museums often have, because we were a new institution just 8 years ago,
mm-hmm.
but also, as I was saying before, about creating that big C in the community, about who is it that is underserved?
Mm-hmm.
Who is it that the visual arts sector traditionally has not had programming for?
Mm-hmm.
So we started with certainly the GEO program, and he was, you know, very much in favor of that after I came back and presented to him after going to that conference. But we've migrated over the years to add in the low to no vision population, adults with developmental disabilities, those with early stage dementia and their care partners. Certainly we work in schools. We just grow the program as widely as we can to encompass the entire community. And just last year, we started a much broader veterans and military personnel initiative that we're going to expand upon in the next fiscal year.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Cool. Exciting stuff.
Yeah, and Michael gets to run all those programs.
Cool. I said I have the best job.
I just have to do all the paperwork. You get to have all the fun.
So. I get to have all the fun.
Okay, so Michael, tell me like what goes on in a typical class.
Well, I think the youth and the adults are quite different. One, they're both at different facilities. Keith is North Minimum Security. Jail North is Minimum Security. Jail Central is Medium Security. So that can sometimes affect some of the supplies we bring in and the different things we use. Also at North, we only work with the youth. So in a youth class, I think one thing we've got a couple of awesome things going for us. Keith, for one, he's our friend. Yeah, he helps us out a lot. Cool. And I think also over the years, we've kind of built up a reputation. Like sometimes we'll go in for a class and the students have heard of the class before. Mm-hmm. So they're actually looking forward to it. They've heard the art class was cool.
Yeah.
They saw another cool thing is we get to hang some of the art in the jail. So
yes.
They may have seen some of it in the library or in the classroom and realized, okay, this was made in a jail, you know, in a class here at Jail North. So we sometimes get the benefit that maybe some other teachers don't, which is that some of them are coming in quite excited, which we like. But yeah, in general, we start the first day at Jail North with the youth. We start in the library. We go through a PowerPoint presentation like any other class. We used to be able to do virtual tours,
mm-hmm.
which was really cool. Unfortunately, I think just with some, banning of different websites, we can't do it anymore. But that was one thing that was pretty cool, getting to take them literally out of that space. But either way, we still look at the museum. They see the inside. They see, you know, the middle of their city. They see Trade and Tryon or the building. So they're really getting familiar with this. And then the next day, we begin work. And a lot of times, they're kind of nervous. But for the youth, we have a teacher named Anna Kanar.
Mm-hmm.
And she is amazing. So anytime they start worrying, like, oh, I don't know how to draw, we're like, don't worry. You are going to make it through this art class, and you're going to be so surprised at what you can do. And they are. And that's what Keith was sort of speaking to in regards to starting and finishing something.
Mm-hmm.
They really do feel proud. And when I read their surveys, I feel proud because it just makes you so happy to hear that they really enjoyed and benefited from the class. And then at Jail Central, when we work with the adults, we do it's a similar setup. We do the day one, we do a presentation in the classroom instead of the library, but we're still able to do that. We've got, you know, everything on the TV, and like it just depends on if the class is in Spanish or in English. So
right.
We do different ones there, both in Spanish and English, which is awesome because I think the Spanish-speaking population is even further underserved just because of a lack of Spanish-speaking teachers.
Right, exactly.
So that's really nice that we get to offer programs to them. The first day we do our PowerPoint as well, go through what we're going to do. And our teacher for the adults, her name is Annabelle Manning.
Mm-hmm.
She's another really wonderful artist in the community, and she does a great job teaching them. She's, I think she was born in Mexico.
She calls herself American-Mexican.
Yeah. So, anyways.
But completely fluent in Spanish.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And again, the first day, they're pretty nervous.
Yeah.
They're not artists. They
right,
don't know
right.
how to draw. But or they keep saying that. But
right.
the truth is that
they need it unlocked.
Exactly. I truly believe that everyone is an artist,
yeah.
and everyone can look at and interpret art, which is sort of what we do on the first day, is get used to looking at that and interpreting that. I mean, sometimes people are just put off by an abstract painting because they don't understand it. But the truth is, it's not necessarily something to understand as much as it is something to observe and, you know, get an emotional or physical or whatever, some type of reaction from. So then they go into creating. And then we just have the 4 days. And another thing I don't think that we mentioned is on the last day, of course, we're wrapping up our projects, you know, getting all those last minute details that they want for their perfect product. And then we do our surveys so we can kind of get some evaluation on the program. And we give out certificates, which for the youth and the adults have different sort of significance. But I know that they get credit for the classes that go towards different things. And I think a lot of times, Keith, they give their certificates to their lawyers as well.
They can. I mean, they utilize that stuff in court just to show that they've been, you know, having good behavior inside the facility. So when it's time to go before the judge, it might help.
So it counts as it's good.
They're learning, they're progressing, they're cooperating.
Right. Interpersonal skills.
Amazing.
Awesome. Awesome. So what has the response been?
On our end, I think, you know, it's been overwhelmingly positive. Mm-hmm. You know, again, you know, I think Michael touched on a lot of those pieces already, but you're looking at a population of folk who believe that people don't care about them. And so when you're bringing in programs like this, it gives them the opportunity to see that there are people willing to help, willing to work with them, but also have some fun. I mean, this program is very fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's outside the norm.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we're doing more life skills-based stuff, you know, education-based. So there's more of a stricter curriculum with that. With this, you know, this is very free form. You know, even though we have, you know, an end result product that we want you to get to, the interpretation of it, how you do it, is all yours.
Right.
And so that, like you said, that unlocking, that ability to just, you know, be free with how thinking I may not be an artist, but I can be, or I've got some set of skills that I can put on display, because many of them are very creative.
Yeah.
They just never have the outlet or someone tell them. This is something you can do with that creative genius that you've been hiding. And so, you know, for us, it's just been always positive. The kids always ask, the adults always ask, when is it coming back?
Yeah.
Can I do it twice?
Yeah. Can
they? We try not to.
Sometimes.
We want everybody to do
it. Experience
it. But, you know, when you have that kind of feedback, that kind of anecdotal feedback, you know something's working, especially with teens. You know, and one of the things that we've seen, it helps, you know, with behavior modification. When you're talking about de-escalation techniques, you know, art therapy really is a piece of that.
Yeah.
So we see it not just from the fun programmatic side,
but
on the detention side, it's helping with, you know, facility management. You know, kids who probably had, you know, issues prior to coming to class are now learning that I can journal, I can draw this stress away.
Right.
So it's huge on a lot of different planes.
Yeah, we see that in a lot of our surveys. You know, people comment on how this sort of gives them an outlet, you know, lets them go into almost another world, helps relieve stress. And I think part of it is that they are so vulnerable in the beginning, being intimidated, I don't know how to do this. And then when they kind of get more comfortable with myself, Miss Kanar, Miss Manning, maybe one of the other people that are in the room, they start to sort of feel more connected with us, and then they're expressing themselves, which is always sort of a vulnerable position to be in.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, I think it just brings us a little bit closer, like we get to know each other a little bit better. And, you know, sometimes they open up more than...
The guards come down.
Yeah, the guards come down. And as Keith said, the class is very free form. We're not lecturing, and even on the first day when we do a PowerPoint, it's very interactive. We do a lot of open interpretation of the artwork as opposed to this is what you're looking at.
Well,
there's benefit to the museum, but the benefit of the museum is really because we are providing benefit to the community.
Yeah.
So the overall staff here at the museum, board of directors, our advisory council are very involved and are very knowledgeable about the program. Our membership, our general audience, our programming audience are becoming increasingly more aware of the types of outreach that we do with, you know, the JLRs just being, you know, one aspect. So they really feel like they're a part of something that is beyond what the audience perceives as a traditional museum.
Mm-hmm.
We call ourselves more than a museum.
Yeah.
And it's part of our tagline.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. We really are more than a museum.
Right.
We're not a passive space that people can enjoy, you know, an hour to a respite. We're a very active space,
right,
where you are engaged and you are educated. And when you come here or you participate in any of our programs, that we give you the benefit of self-discovery. We promote that through everything that we do, because that creates the next generation of art lovers.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and
I
it's really
that.
Nice that we get to sort of build up this relationship, not only personally while we're in the classroom, but between them and their community, between them and the museum, you know, something that they may have never thought of as a space to go to, as a space that they would be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we tell them, well, hey, we've got, you know, Beckler by Night on this Friday. So when you're no longer in here,
right.
Why don't you come to the museum?
Right.
And we've actually started giving away guest passes as well, so free admission to the museum, just to really further that connection, you know.
That's
to
awesome.
Really try to, we're working even on trying to maybe start a partnership with the Relatives,
mm-hmm.
which is an organization.
Short-term youth housing.
Thank you, Keith.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so that would be sort of like a after type program. But anyway, so we really want to just kind of keep that relationship. And the kids really, especially the youth, they're really always asking, what was the name of the museum again?
Right.
What was that? Where's the website? And I'm like, oh, so it's on your certificate.
Right.
You know, check it out. You can Google it when you get home. And the adults as well. I was in a class Monday morning. And they were all, I told them, I'm going to bring you guys guest passes. And they were all really looking forward to that. I'm coming to that museum. And, you know, it's another thing is, it's like one thing to say, oh, yeah, I recognize the Firebird, the sculpture in front of our museum.
Yeah.
But it's another thing to say, like, I'm familiar with that,
right,
that museum.
That, yeah.
I feel confident in, you know, viewing the art inside of it. I don't feel as intimidated going in. So once they're like, yeah, I recognize the Firebird, but I've never been there.
Right.
Maybe never thought to go, and now they're excited.
And some of the art that you would show them in the PowerPoint or during the course of the residency week could be on display here at the museum.
Oh, yeah.
So they may see it,
it,
you know, in an image format, but then it's something quite different when you walk up to it in the gallery.
In a gallery, yeah.
To see its
depth,
to see its lighting. Yeah, so they come with a little... They can come with a lot of knowledge about the pieces that we have out in the museum, should we be able to have them out.
Right.
Yeah, our residencies are always based on artists in our collection or maybe a theme that's on display in the collection. But either way, they're always relating back.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something that they can kind of get more familiar with.
That's huge. I love this program.
And actually, one thing we haven't touched on yet is another thing we do at the end of the class on the last day.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the most sort of chaotic day because we're trying to get everything done. Is we explain to them what they can do with their artwork at this point.
And what can they do with their artwork?
Exactly. So they can't take it back to their pod because it's got the wrong type of paper. It's too big. It's too many colors. There's paint on it. Who knows what else is going on. So they have, at least at Jail North, they have three options. One is to, this is the youth, one is to display the artwork in the jail, which is really nice. And I've
That's
seen,
really cool.
Yeah, it is. And I've actually seen some of them also gift it to some of the other employees in the jail, which is
awesome.
Really heartwarming.
Yeah.
And then another option is for them to donate it to the museum. And then the final option is to put it in their property, and then they remind Keith or another gentleman we work with, Mr. Lee, that, hey, make sure you put my artwork in my property because I'm, you know, I'm getting ready to go home and I want to take it with me.
Right.
And another positive aspect about that is in our classes we generally create multiple pieces of work, each student.
Yeah.
So they could actually choose, say, Yeah, exactly. This one I made for Miss So-and-so, this one I'm taking home, and this one can go to the museum.
Right, right.
And currently in our lobby, we have an exhibit on display of artwork made by the adults, actually female, male, English-speaking, and Spanish-speaking adults at Jail Central. So in the first day now, we show them pictures of that, And we say, very neat. So this is one of your options.
This is something you've been inspired to
yeah.
do.
If you want to donate, you know, and some of the guys in the class this week, they said, well, I'm going to tell my family to go look at it now.
Yeah, yeah.
And that would be so,
how cool would that be, like, to tell your family, go to the Beckler and see my artwork.
Yeah,
that's,
and even if it's not theirs, it gives, if they're still in jail, it's giving their family an idea of what they're doing.
Yeah,
so
that's huge.
Yeah.
We had a really great story about, was it a month ago, the inmate who wrote the letter because he could write in English. And
well, actually.
How did that go?
Yeah, actually it was an entire class of Spanish-speaking adults that were just so overwhelmingly appreciative of the class.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing they talk about, you know, it takes them somewhere else.
Yeah.
They're in this new creative space. I mean, if you're writing something or you're drawing something, you're not really thinking about all your problems.
Right,
you're just you're really just free flowing. We're laughing. We're listening to music.
Right.
So they were just so appreciative, and they wrote this letter to the teachers, and they were Spanish speaking. So they wrote the first side in Spanish, and then they had someone else translate. So the front of it was in Spanish and the back of it was in English, and it was just really,
that's
just a really special letter of how thankful they were and how much they appreciated the class and just how much they really got out of it, you know.
And didn't they work on an extra piece, like as a collective as well? Didn't it come with you were doing the Moreau ladder?
Uh-huh. Yeah, they were all working on a project, which is that Miss Manning, Annabelle Manning, has come up with. It's a project focusing on Miro, and it's called The Ladder of Escape.
Mm-hmm.
And so we focus on a couple different pieces, but it's basically focusing on this sort of grounded. Their artwork kind of has two portions. One is more grounded, and the other is more celestial, you know, sort
that's
of like special. Another word,
right.
World.
So, I was wanting to ask you, you mentioned something about the screens and the videos, and I was wondering if, like, what do? You just do the PowerPoint on those, or is it, like, art history, or art, just looking at art, stuff like that?
So when we're at JL North in the library, sometimes we're talking and our conversation lingers to something else. That might be a piece of artwork that we want to show them, and they have the internet, so we can Google, you know, the image and show them this artist and this piece of work type of thing. But in general, yeah, we're going through a PowerPoint that we've made. At JL Central, the PowerPoint is on the computer, but it's directly connected to the TV.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have as free of sort of range of the internet or anything. But sometimes they'll request, say, you know, I'd love to see an image of this, or you talked about that, but I didn't see it. And a lot of times what we'll do is bring in a photo or some information about that the next day.
Right.
It's a little more historical. It's a little image-based, color, principles of design.
Mm-hmm.
But it's largely about the way it makes you feel and theme related to the work that week, which can go from mentors and heroes to choices and consequences, this idea of being grounded, but yet, you know, also aspiring, you know, to the clouds, if you will.
Right, right.
So it encompasses a lot of different things.
Yeah.
In that presentation.
Cool. I really like that. Also, I was wondering, like, they were saying that there were some people who might want to do it twice. Was there a way that there could be, like, another program so that, like, people could always be doing it?
Well, I think we could do
wonderful.
It every week out of the year. If the jail system wanted us to, we would do it every week out of the year.
I don't know if it's the jail system as much as it is funding.
Well,
I
was going to say.
I think the jail system would
the
like.
Jail system would
Keith, would
like
you like
it.
Us to come every
I'd
week?
I'd love for you to come every week. But, you know, as with anything, there is a funding issue. And there is also a staff capacity issue as well. So to completely overcome those two things opens us up to do much more than 10 weeks
in
the system.
I would love if we could do that at some point. But we're really focused on quality.
Mm-hmm.
So as Christopher mentioned, you know, we're a certain budget and we have a certain staffing capacity. So we're not going to
not going to cut corners.
No.
Yeah.
No, because all of our programs deal with very special populations. Right?
Yeah.
You know, everybody's special.
Yeah.
I guess, but
yeah.
You know,
well,
we
yeah,
just
yeah.
we're really value quality.
Right.
So.
Right.
But
yeah.
They do always ask. They wish they could always be in our class.
All that we do, which is a lot, not just these 10 weeks in the jail system, but it's really managed by 3 staff people and 3 teaching artists that we contract with from the outside. That's a lot of work for 6 people.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just one program
yeah,
we're
yeah.
talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, to build more capacity of bodies, of people, of actual people being able to be on site would probably be the first thing that we need to build.
Yeah.
In order to spread this out a little bit farther.
But fortunately, for such a young museum, we are quite proud of what we've been
yeah.
able to accomplish.
Oh, I think it's
the amount of time that we've had. So
we've received some significant funding
yeah,
to help us along the way
yeah.
from Duke Energy,
Women's Impact Fund,
the Institute of Museum and Library Sciences,
right.
one of our very first federal grants that we got.
Wow.
We're in the middle of that this year. Individual contributions, some people who will donate to the annual fund, let's say for the museum, will designate that it go towards community outreach or you know, the jail program specifically. So it's just a matter of getting more of the word out there with the good work that we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. This is huge.
It is.
I
sometimes we forget how huge it is because we're so close to it.
It really is, and I don't know.
But always it seems like the right thing to do. I don't think it's huge for us because it's what
yeah.
we're tasked
it
to
is
do.
The
right
thing.
Right.
And I think it speaks just to also, you know, Andre's, you know, vision of having this museum open for everyone.
Yeah.
And programs like this, they create that environment that everyone feels a part, they feel included no matter where they are, what they're doing.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, in that spirit, that's what these programs are about.
That's awesome.
And you know, Keith mentioned Andrea Speckler, our founder.
Right.
Donated all the artwork, and that is actually part of our mission, is to share his collection with all.
With all.
And that's my favorite part. My favorite word in our
yeah.
mission statement is with all, because we're really working on that.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're doing great. This is awesome. This is huge.
Thank you.
Would you like to come and see?
Yes.
You can do it.
Well, yeah. We've had visitors before. Over the course of a few classes,
yeah,
to see. It's one thing to hear about it.
Yeah,
nothing to see it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think once you demystify the space of jail,
yeah,
and see this happening, you realize this can happen anywhere.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah,
I love this. I absolutely love this.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming to talk to us.
Thank you so much. I'm really honored to be here talking to you guys.
That's our honor. We like talking about it.
Thank you so much to Michael Gates and Christopher Long of the Beckler Museum of Modern Art and Dr. Keith Cradle from the Charlotte Mecklenburg County Jail for telling me about this fantastic program. And thank you to you for listening. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, and if you're interested in supporting the podcast, please contact me at arttalkwithbrooke@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.